Hello and welcome to The Future Report, a podcast hosted by social research company McCrindle for anyone curious about the future. My name is Ashley Fell, and each week I'll be sitting down with a guest to discuss a topic or trend that you need to know about. Hello and welcome back to another season of the Future Report podcast. In 2024, the world of work is undergoing a profound transformation, with businesses grappling with the intricate balance of hybrid work, remote setups, and traditional office routines. It's not just about the logistics anymore, it's about the profound implications of where we choose to work. So, in today's episode, we're delving into the concept of superiority, an emerging trend that reflects the perceived superiority attached to being physically present in the workplace. And joining me to unpack the nuances of this phenomenon and shed light on the benefits and challenges of different work modes is McCrindle's principal and coiner of the term superiority, Mark McCrindle. Mark, welcome back to the Future Report podcast.
Thanks, Ash. Great to be discussing these trends with you.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating trend that we've kind of put our name to as a prediction for the year ahead based on some research that we did quite late last year. And as the person who coined that very iconic term, Mark, and a bit of a play on superiority, I thought that we could begin the episode today by getting you to, I guess, help our listeners understand what superiority means in the context of this evolving work landscape and how, I guess, this perception of physical presence in the workplace has shifted and what's contributed to this increasing phenomenon that we're seeing.
Well, there's a few layers to it. And the first, and it's a play on that word, is that we've all seen and we all probably feel when we're working in office a little smugness of being superior because we're in the office compared to those that might be working from home. That's the experience that people have had in this hybrid work. And there's reasons for that because, you know, we found in this research that people say they are their best and most professional selves when they go into the office because they prepare, they dress for the occasion, they plan out the day, they make the commute worthwhile, and they put on their best productive endeavors to make that workday in office worthwhile. So that's part of the superiority that comes from being in the office. But there was, in addition, research that showed that the results, the productivity, the opportunities are actually better when we are in the office. It's not just a smugness that people feel of being superior to those that are, you know, slovenly smacking it out from home, but actually there is some reasons for us to gather, and the data would suggest that productivity has a boost when we gather.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see those insights come out, and the research that you're referencing there is that more than half of Australian workers, so 59%, have a sneaking suspicion that those working in the workplace get better opportunities than those who work from home. In addition to that, 7 in 10 Australian workers indicated that working in the workplace leads to a greater sense of recognition and appreciation of their efforts to commute to the workplace. And you referenced there as well that insight, which was gained from the statistic that 67% of Australian workers experience presentivity and found greater team productivity when they gather. So that idea that there are these benefits to actually, yeah, making the effort to come into the workplace. And I think it's interesting to see now, as I alluded to in that introduction, that it's, I mean, we're a couple of years on from mandated lockdown procedures. And so now we're starting, this conversation starting to have nuance. I feel like the common discourse was everyone wants hybrid, everyone wants remote. But now we're starting to see, even in this study, people talk about the challenges and the benefits of these different types of work. I mean, were these results what you would have hypothesized people would have said about this way of working in hybrid and commuting to the office or workplace?
There's no surprise because we found in our research consistently for the last few years that most people still appreciate gathering in a workplace. Now, everyone wants a bit of flexibility to be able to do a bit of work remotely or work from home, and that seems to be now baked in. But what we are seeing now is organizations, companies, leaders say, we do need you to gather for some of the week or most of the week because there are benefits that come when we gather. And that's what this research found. The individual says that they have some benefits. Yes, there's a price to pay. There's that commute time. There's some extra costs. There's effort involved in getting to a workplace. But there are those benefits, firstly, because they feel at their professional best, as you shared with the data. Secondly, they feel that they get better opportunities, that the commute is worthwhile because they get noticed, they get the recognition, they get the feedback. And that's just the reality. I mean, chances are the senior leaders are working in the office. They have to be. That's part of their requirement. And they're going to notice those peers or give indeed opportunities to those in their teams who are present there as well. You know, we can all delegate tasks remotely. We can bring people into meetings or have a bit of an upskill with someone who might be remote. But it's a lot easier to have the conversation or have the quick chat or solve the problem with someone who happens to be in the office with you. And that's what workers were recognizing. There's a benefit there when they gather. And the team also said that they have some productivity benefits from being present. And that's that term you mentioned, presentivity, the productivity that comes from being present. And that is because when we gather and brainstorm and innovate together, that happens more seamlessly. It can be done remotely on a Zoom, but it happens more seamlessly, more naturally as humans when we're physically present than when we're remote. So the future of work is not just a dispersed one, it's a gathered one, and it comes with those personal, team, and productivity benefits.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I guess the whole conversation is a bit of a to and fro about the benefits and the challenges of different ways of working. And I guess as businesses embrace these hybrid work models, both the employee and the employer are trying to navigate this new frontier and what's best for the team and the organization and the individual and perceived flexibility and all those other aspects that come into it. So it's not as straightforward maybe as it seemed early on in the pandemic when it was like, oh, we can all work from home. How good. We're just saving all this time. Now we're like, oh, we actually miss these things around connections with colleagues, yes, but even perceived opportunities or out of sight, out of mind kind of mindset. And something else I think about, which I think we shared on an episode that I shared on an episode about some reflections after being in the workplace for a decade, was how much you do learn just by being in the room with other people without you even aware that you're learning it, especially early on in your career. And if you're not getting that, if you're fully remote, if you're not hearing how people answer the phone or talk to a colleague or take a sales call, it's like you miss out on just some of those osmosis type learnt behaviours. So there's lots that go on and come into this. But as we think about, I guess, the benefits and the challenges associated with hybrid work, particularly in comparison to traditional office routines and remote setups, do you have any particular benefits or challenges in addition to what we've already talked about so far that stand out to you when you think about these different ways of working and those different needs that we kind of have as human beings?
Yeah, I mean, beyond any productivity and professional benefit and being able to give your best self at work, which comes through gathering, not necessarily every day, but for a good part of the week, is the personal benefit that comes from it. You just touched on that, Ash, that you know, one of the few social bottlenecks through which most people now pass on a regular basis is the workplace. That's where they're connecting with other people. We don't know our neighbours as much. They might not be part of a volunteer community or a social club or a worship community, but they are part of a workplace on average. And so that social benefit that comes from gathering, it's an antidote to the silent pandemic of isolation, loneliness, and the mental health challenges that come from that. So when we gather, when we're forced to get out of our comfort zones and socialize a little bit to connect with others around purposeful, meaningful work, it does fulfill us as humans. It adds that contribution to ourselves and helps us make a contribution to others. So work is good for us, even from a social perspective, when we gather. And we found that in this study. You know, we put this other term down called video conference FOMO, the video conference fear of missing out. We've all had the experience where on the video conference call, and as it begins, there's a little bit of laughter, you know, on the sidelines from those that are in the room, those that have gathered in the office, and we might be tuning in remotely. And we think, well, there's a bit of banter going on that I missed even as the call began. There's some side comments that happen in the meeting, maybe a bit of laughter that you missed because someone's off camera or you didn't quite catch it. And you know that as soon as that call ends and they say, bye everyone, that there's going to be some good banter going on in that room that you're going to miss out out on as well. And that's the fear of missing out when we join even video conferences remotely, when there are others gathering in the workplace for them, that we miss a little bit of that social connection. The meeting is not just the Zoom meeting. It's the before, it's the after, it's the interaction. That's the social stuff that's good for us. It's the lunchtime. It's the catch up while we make a cup of tea or get a drink of water from the water cooler. And that's important for us as individuals, for that development of us professionally, for the opportunities to learn, for the values alignment, and of course, for the work as well.
Yeah, and I think just expanding a little bit more on what you touched on just there at the end, even just around career growth and development. It's interesting. I mean, we've talked already about the fact that this research is indicating that a significant number of Australians believe that workplace-based employees do have better opportunities, whether that's maybe a conscious or subconscious choice by the leaders, or it's just that they're there and they see the hard work, or they get the banter and there's relationship building. I mean, you could hypothesize around a whole bunch of ways that this might outwork itself. But I'd be keen, Mark, to hear your reflections and just expanding again on some of the implications that this perception might have on career growth and development, I guess, particularly, I mean, for all of us, but also maybe especially for those, you know, Gen Z emerging workers who are looking at a particular workplace and I'm sure considering hybrid working arrangements. Do you have any reflections on some of these implications of this kind of perceived superiority and how that's going to be outworked with regards to career growth and development for people?
Well, firstly, I think it's important that organisations and leaders find days in the week where the team can gather. It might not be the whole organisation, but it should at least be the team on set days. Because if we just have a mandate, oh, we come in 3 days or 2 days, but you choose your days, well, the chances are you'll come in, none of your team is there, none of the project colleagues are there. So I could have just done this day from home, I'll work from home tomorrow, and then the rest of the team are in the next day when you're not. And that doesn't achieve anything. So it's not just coming into the office for the sake of it. There are benefits from that because you do bump into others. And as we said, you know, you put your best professional face forward as you prepare and you make the most of the commute in terms of preparing yourself. So there are some benefits, but there's not the social benefit, the collegiality benefit, the productivity benefit on compared to working alongside colleagues. So I think we have to set the days and have some alignment there. We have to make the most of that commute. If people are going to the effort, make it worth their while. I think young people need to make the effort here. And, you know, they're the most digitally savvy generation that could just as well do the rest of their career from home, perhaps, but they will miss out. And if they're not there, that's what the research showed. They're not going to get the same opportunities. They're not going to get the same network building. They're not going to get the same training because formal training just doesn't happen as much, or it's not as useful as the unplanned ad hoc training when someone quickly shows you something or gets you to fix something and you get those learning opportunities. So it might be unfair that those in the office get more opportunities than those working remotely. It might be a lack of equity that those who turn up get more promotion and recognition, but that's the reality. So what are we going to do? My encouragement is for young people, turn up, you know, make the effort, at least for some of the week, be there, because that's where the growth will be, that's where the opportunities will be, and that's where the learning will be. It's all very well for us Gen Xers to perhaps do a bit more work from home, and even the millennials, Ash, like yourself, that have established career, but young people starting out, they're at the key learning stage, they're at the key social life stage, and if they can be in the office, they will ultimately benefit.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting comment that you make just around, it's like it might be unfair and it might not be ideal, but it's a good thing to do, and it does probably take a bit of discipline because it can be easy to just fall into the hybrid or remote, or if your workplace isn't mandating you come back, you're just like, well, why would I go back when it's comfy clothes at home and I don't have to commute? But it's like, there are those benefits, of course, and you might get more time with your family, but you've got to think about what you're giving up as well. And in terms of career progression or career opportunities, that's kind of the reality in some ways that we're talking about here with regards to this trend and the implications of it. So it's interesting. And just when you were talking at the beginning of that comment that you were making just around when people or offices or workplaces mandate that people come back, but they don't coordinate when everyone's in. I've seen a lot of like memes online for young people where they're like, when my boss or my leader made me come in for the culture, and then they just pan around and like, there's an empty office. They're like, yeah, good culture, guys. Like, yeah. Obviously that's not why you need to come in if you can do your work from home, but thinking about and structuring that and encouraging and open communication about how that's going to work and show the employees who you're asking to come back in the value of doing, like you said, the hard work and the commute and getting ready if they haven't been used to it, if they have been working in more remote capacities. So.
Yeah, totally. And as is often said, you know, if your job can be done remotely from home, then it can probably be offshored remotely to a low cost center, or for that matter, be delivered to AI, you know. And that's where I think we add value when we're there, because we take on other things, we shape things, we give feedback to others. We're a team player. And if in the team, you know, we haven't seen Sally, where's Sally? I haven't even seen Sally for this length of time, or who even is that person? That's when it becomes a problem, because they're not a priority. And again, that might be unfortunate, but that's how people operate. They tend to work with those that they know. And if we want to benefit, make a contribution, be noticed, get the promotion, get the training, and get the stretch goals, that happens by showing up.
Yeah. And you mentioned there as well in that answer before, just around, you know, the emerging generations. And we talked a little bit about their perspective in our Generations Defined report. You might recall, Mark, we asked this question about what's most important to you when considering a new job. And it was really interesting. I just presented these insights yesterday, so it's fresh in my mind. That for Gen Z, it was inspiring and accessible leadership. I think for Gen Y, it was flexible working conditions. For Gen X, it was remuneration. And for baby boomers, it was convenient location. And so then they all reorder after that across the generations. And accessible and inspiring leadership was like the one common thread between every generation that was in their top three responses. But it's just interesting as well how life stage kind of plays into that. And I was also talking about this with a group of people recently, where it was like, maybe people's hypothesis might be that younger generations who've been, you know, shaped in the pandemic in these experiences of hybrid work are going to be the ones who want hybrid the most. But it's often the millennials who've got kids and competing priorities who want the flexibility. It's the younger generations who actually want the community and the connection, for some of the reasons you mentioned, like we're not plugging into worship communities or other community gathering spaces, and the workplaces, like you said, that bottleneck through which we all pass. And so it's interesting. And then you've got the other component across the generations, where for older generations, my interpretation is that for many people, they would be thinking, in light of the pandemic, wow, work from home, what a privilege. Like, we never had that in my day, and that the organization trusts you, that you're not, you know, bludging or whatever. Whereas for a young person who has emerged in this world, who's only ever known hybrid, now it's an expectation. So you've got this privilege expectation kind of thing going. So as we overlay the generational analysis on that, I find that also really interesting. It depends what angle you're taking. You kind of get a different, this group prefer this, but then in this context, we've also got to consider this. So it's all that nuance, and it's complex for leaders.
Yes. Well, it is. And we've got to keep in mind that we're talking about organizations that are, you know, corporations, so corpus, you know, together. It's many coming as one, and that's even tied up in the word. And a company, you know, it's the same thing. It's a coming together. And so unless we do that, we don't really have that benefit of the many coming as one, of the alignment, of the focus, and of the team, and we're just individuals working alone. Now, there's a great time for that. A lot of people would say, well, why would I go to work? I've actually got a better setup at my home office. I've got less distractions there. I've got better internet at home than here at work. Why would I bother coming in, wasting time to work on a slower, worse setup? And that might be true. And therefore, there's key times to have work from home. But if we are calling people in, we've got to make the most of that and make sure it is the team focus, the collaboration, the innovation, the purposeful work that we do need others to gather around. And that's why I think the future is hybrid. It's the mix. It's the remote and the gathered. It's the company together, as well as opportunity for flexibility for those personal work from home flexibility and productivity benefits that might come from a scattered workforce, as well as, of course, the gathered one.
Yeah, and it reminds me of a slide that we often include in presentations to, again, explore the nuance around this topic, which we asked this question in a survey a couple of years ago: which work environment, remote/workplace, best helps you experience the following? We tested a whole bunch of different kind of characteristics or things that people are looking for in the workplace. And as many people might suspect, in a more remote environment, people were saying they were more likely to experience work-life balance, flexible working hours, and deep thinking and reflection. Then these next ones that I'll mention were kind of 50-50, didn't really matter whether it was workplace or remotely, around productivity, idea generation, and innovation. But then we saw a real swing to the workplace when we were evaluating these ones, which was connection to vision of an organization, building strong relationships with leaders, professional development, building strong relationships with colleagues, and collaboration. I think it's interesting when you think about those latter ones that I mentioned, because in all of our work for the Work Wellbeing book that we wrote and authored and did a lot of thinking about, it's often those last ones that we mentioned that keeps people engaged in a workplace. And it's almost, of course, we come to get work done, but it's also about the relationships with colleagues. And that's often a key motivator for people in terms of the impact they can see and working alongside other people. So yeah, it's fascinating to just think about all these different aspects that come into, particularly, I guess, an employee's decision to work remotely, but also, you know, what a leader of an organization sets as the culture and the tone for what's acceptable and how they kind of want people to work moving forward now that we don't have these mandates in place.
Totally. And that's why in that same research, as you know, most people, 2/3 of workers said their ideal is a mix of both. They want a bit of flexibility for the benefits that you said of work from home, but they certainly want to gather. And how that mix works is going to vary worker to worker and company to company, but both the hybrid, the gathered and the scattered are a key part of the working future. And that is because the gathered part is needed because teams are built on trust. And if you can't trust someone, then you can't work together and have that interpersonal, interdependent connection. And trust requires relationship, and relationship requires time. And so the time that we gather to build the relationship, therefore to build trust, therefore to become a team and deliver the output is key. But it requires the investment in the gathering. That's why both are key.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier as well just about the post-video conference FOMO and how that came through in the study. And I also think about even just reflecting on what you mentioned there around the fact that when we do so much online, it's often so much more transactional. And even when you try to make it relational, it's so much harder. Like we still have, of course, like any other organization, Zoom meetings, we have people who work remotely in different capacities. And even for me as a team leader, it's always trying to think about how do we include the people who aren't in the room and how do we make them feel a part of it and how do we not have too much laughter in who of those in the room, which is hard to, like, you don't want to ban laughter or stop laughter, but you also don't want them to have that FOMO. You want to include them, but it is just so much harder because a lot of it happens when you, like you mentioned earlier, when you press end meeting and then someone cracks a joke and we all laugh. And like you said, that just seems really fun and innocent, but it's actually building trust and relationship and rapport and all these things that do equate to your ability to work alongside people in the workplace when it gets down to the crunch time to actually get something done or deliver an outcome for a client or meet a deadline, as well as building relationships with people. So I guess it's a challenge, but it's also something we do have to work through as well and try and include those people who are experiencing that FOMO as well.
And it's all of that unplanned time. It's the walking into the meeting, the walking out of that meeting, the making the cuppa as we have a little chat with someone, the doorway conversations, which are often where the most meaningful conversations happen. All of that doesn't happen in a Zoom. You know, they're very efficient, those Zoom meetings, but they're not effective for building relationship and unpacking some of what might be below the surface in terms of a challenge we've got in the team or the project, or for that matter, personally as well. So, you know, you can't replace the good old human relationship of connecting in a face-to-face way where we've got the time and the body language and understanding the gestures and of course, that humor and connection, that can't be replaced in a digital sense.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And we've talked about this presentivity concept as well, where workers find greater team productivity when physically gathering with colleagues. Mark, I'd be keen to hear your thoughts or any reflections you have around how this dynamic can impact problem solving, decision making, and especially that overall team cohesion or sense of culture and connection, especially for those working at the workplace and those adopting a hybrid approach as well. Any reflections around that idea of the impact on culture, which I was saying this again yesterday in a presentation, like culture can be this really vague and far off, hard word to define, yet it's like the core of attraction and retention to an organization. So how do you feel like this presentivity concept plays into organizational culture?
Well, we like using that image of the tree to describe an organization, and we all see the fruit of the tree, the flourishing, that's the output of the company, but that really depends on the strength of the trunk, which is the why, the motivation behind the what, the output. But key to it all is, if we think about the tree, is the soil, the roots, and what's below the surface, and that's the culture. And the healthy root system and soil system, you know, empowers and grows that trunk, the big why, which promotes and sustains the big what, the productivity and the output. Now, that culture, the root system, comes from that Latin word cultura, which literally means to toil, to till and to nurture soil and roots. You know, that's where it's from. So it's an organic term. You can't accelerate culture. It's organic. It grows in its own way and time, and it's seasonal, and you can't cram it, and you can't expedite it. And that's what we're discussing here. You know, that's why the gathering is so important. Now, a lot of people listening might say, you know what, I get excellent productivity work from home. I never need to turn up to the office again or physically interact with anyone again. And that might be the case, because they're getting great efficiencies through that, but it is transactional. They get a problem, they solve the problem, they send it through. But what we're talking about is teams that are transformational, and that requires the trust, the relationship, the innovation. When we've all been around a table trying to solve a problem or innovate or bring about a new outcome, and it's the pauses, it's observing someone's body language, it's someone poses a question and someone responds and there's an unplanned interaction, and that's how solutions or outcomes flow from when we're gathered. That's transformational. It's anything but transactional. It can't be done in that pure efficiency sense. It's like toiling or tilling the soil and developing culture and a more holistic organic outcome. And that's why gathering relationally is a key part of the human experience.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it just gives me, this whole conversation gives me flashbacks to working on the Work Wellbeing book and so much of what we wrote. And I think I've shared this story on the podcast before, but it's just fascinating. And I was sharing it again recently with someone that we had written that book in 2019, and so much of our and your philosophical thoughts around the purpose of work and everything we've talked about today, even before the pandemic. But then we were going to publish that book, and we had a delay, and I was like, oh, it's delayed. That's kind of sad. That's annoying. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, okay, thank goodness for the delay, because we need to rewrite all of this. But there's also these, I guess, timeless aspects as well. And that's, I think, the tension I like to explore. And I think that we do really well, she said humbly, as an organization, in terms of looking at what's timeless around human behavior and needs and generations, but also what's changing in the way that we operate in the context, and how do those two things interact. So it's almost this idea that, you know, we need team connections, not just for having fun at work, but also to be more productive and to build trust and rely on people in tough times, work-wise and otherwise. But then also you've got this remote world of hybrid world of work that has competing priorities and benefits and challenges, which is the whole conversation we're having today. So it reminds me of a lot of what we were talking about back then, obviously with a new context now in the post-pandemic sphere. But in terms of looking to the future, Mark, looking towards 2024, it's predicted to be one of our trends this year where people are experiencing superiority and they're challenging it, and they're, I guess, as leaders, they're trying to navigate their way through it. Do you have any other insights for our listeners or any other reflections as to where this kind of hybrid remote work culture, where this is kind of all heading?
Well, actually, the people side of it, the collective side of it, the gathering side of it becomes even more important in a world of AI, in a world of more transactional solutions, because humans will always do best what humans are made to do. Anything that can be outsourced to technology ought to be, you know, and if it's writing some procedural thing, AI can do that. You know, it's great, got great skills for that. But if it's solving problems, resolving conflict, building people, making decisions amidst complexity, casting vision, you know, impacting and remaining relevant amidst change, that they're deeply human reflections and human solutions. So as we wrote in our book, even in the future, the most essential skills will be distinctively human ones. That's what we need to double down on. And therefore, you know, that comes as we gather. That's why the future is a gathered one, not just a dispersed one. And, you know, you said it well just a few moments ago, that when it comes to looking at trends, we've got to look at what is possible technologically, but what is the reality sociologically. You know, there are the timeless human drivers and expectations within which we look at trends and change from a technology or other perspective, and the two are kept in balance. That is, just because something is technologically possible doesn't mean that psychologically or societally it'll come to the fore, because we always revert back to what we need as humans, and gathering is one of those. So I think leaders need to double down on the people skills, on connecting across teams of diversity, on growing their skills to lead amidst hybrid of some in the room and some remote, of empowering and growing and investing in people so they've got the very best for the future amidst challenges that they face. I think, therefore, it's about the true side of leadership, developing people, communicating that vision, managing the challenges and bringing about relevant and fruitful outcomes.
Yeah, fantastic insights, Mark, and a really inspiring way to conclude the conversation today. So thank you for coining the term, for helping us unpack it. And if people are interested, of course, you know, they can delve into our Trends of 2024 insights for that Superiority prediction, but also many others that we've got in store. So as always, thank you so much again for the chat today, Mark.
Thanks, Ash.
And if you would like to stay up to date with McCrindle's latest insights, you can always subscribe to the podcast. You can give us a follow on social media or simply head to mccrindle.com. So as always, thank you for listening, and bye for now.